We want to thank you that you are in the business of transforming lives. And Lord, even when we make mistakes, a lot of mistakes, we feel far from you. You're there loving us, and you're for us. You're not against us. And we thank you for that. Lord, this morning as we continue talking about the living promises, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, every one of us. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about the living promises over the last month. Promises of eternal life. Promises of total forgiveness of sins. Of a fresh new start on the path that God has planned and ordained for us since the beginning of the world. Of being released from captivity and the power of sin, what Bobby shared last week. Of being able to walk with God. And these are wonderful, amazing promises. So much so that it's easy for people to say, they just can't believe it. It's too good to be true. So today, I would like for us to talk about faith. Faith is essential in all that we do as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Faith is necessary, not just useful, but it's necessary for many aspects of our walk with Christ, isn't it? As we pray, give our petitions to Him, faith is necessary. As we hear His voice and we respond to what He speaks to us, faith is necessary. When we go through the trials or the fires of life, faith is necessary to keep moving. And we've all been there. When we're fighting discouragement, faith is necessary. When we kind of launch into some new area that God's leading us and we don't see clearly where we're going, is faith necessary? Certainly it is. It is necessary, essential to walk in the Christian life. But it is especially essential, necessary, as we begin our walk with Christ. You know, that point in time when we receive the gift of eternal life, when we receive the promise of the forgiveness of sins, when we receive that promise of regeneration, and we're born into the kingdom of God, this is a supernatural event that really defines the rest of our life. And eternity for us, doesn't it? It is a work that God does inside of us. It can't be explained logically. And faith is what makes all this a reality. Faith takes the promise and brings it home to us. Now, while it's true that entrance into the kingdom of God, or receiving eternal life, or regeneration, whatever you want to call it, even though it takes place at a particular point in our life, it is also true that from our point of view, sometimes it appears as a process. Actually, as I've talked to a number of you over the last several weeks, kind of, you know, asking you to, you know, to do your testimony and everything, one thing I've been amazed at is almost every person, it's been like a process. It's been like a sputtering along where it kind of goes, then stops, goes, stop, you know, that type of thing. Sputtering, como se dice, farfullar, is that sputtering, something like that? Something like that? Okay, anyway, sputtering. Anyway, that's what happens a lot of times in our Christian life. We get off to a start, then it seems like we kind of get off track, then we kind of get started again, and finally we start kind of getting to the place where there's something consistent with us. You know, it's and you know what is happening here? I think a number of things. I think one thing, especially if we gave our life to the Lord as a child, like in my case, or actually, in several of the cases we've already heard today with Rosemary, you know, our understanding grows as we grow up physically, you know, and so there's a greater understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. It develops over time. That happened with me. I think another thing for some people, there is often confusion or maybe even a blending of biblical Christianity with what I call cultural Christianity. And maybe I won't explain that right now because we could get off. But I think there is such a thing as a cultural Christianity. We are tied more to the culture, what we perceive as the culture of Christianity, rather than biblical. And so sometimes it takes a while to figure that out. There's probably a lot of other factors as well. But one thing I believe is a big one has to do with faith. Or maybe I should say an incomplete understanding of faith, of biblical faith. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Maybe we'll just kind of leave it at that right now. Faith, along with repentance, is a foundation for Christian maturity. Not understanding faith will give us that sputtering along type of Christian life where it's up, down, or like it seems like we're going and then we kind of choke out. Then we start going and we choke out again. When it comes to the promises of God, faith is necessary to release those promises. Without faith, we're going to be subject to this up and down. We're not going to understand exactly what God has called us to. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Based on my years of studying the scriptures and from my own experiences and also watching and helping others, I want to offer some things that can help us understand faith more completely. Now, this isn't going to be a thorough study on the topic of faith. That would take weeks. But I believe this will get us started, and I think it will maybe help us in some ways that will keep us from just that up and down, that sputtering type of life. First of all, God gives us a measure of faith to each of us. Romans 12:3, last part of it says, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. Now, this is important because if we don't understand this, we'll get tripped up. A measure, that Greek word, it's pretty close to English. It means something that has been apportioned out. Let's say if you have like a teaspoon of something, you measure it carefully to put it in a recipe. You've measured it out. And God has given each of us a carefully measured amount of faith at the very beginning to begin our walk with. See, God has created all of us, every one of us, with a desire to know our Creator, to walk with Him. Now, at different seasons of life, that might be stronger. Sometimes it may seem non-existent because it's been drowned out by maybe all the things we're doing. But it's still there inside of every person. That's why we need to be preaching the gospel. We need to share the gospel because you never know what's going on in someone's life. There's something inside of all of us that we want to hear. And so we are, as we begin to look toward Him and have a desire to understand and follow Him, God gives us a measure of faith to begin with. It may be a seed, so to speak, but it will grow as we water it. Let me give you an example. I like to make kefir smoothies in the morning. You know what a kefir, who knows what a kefir smoothie is? Okay, some of you, it's like a yogurt type of thing, but you do it with, it starts with a seed. In fact, about a month ago, I ordered a new one, and I filled it up with milk, big old jar, put the thing in it. It really didn't work. I did it again. I thought, oh, no, I spent $20 for this new kefir seed, and nothing happened. Well, like a lot of us, after we get frustrated doing something, I decided, well, maybe I should kind of read the instructions. So I kind of Googled. Have you ever done that? Okay. By the laugh, I think so. So I kind of Googled it, and they said, oh, I saw several things I was doing wrong. One of the things it says, with a new kefir seed, you need to start with just a little bit of milk. And then you kind of, you know, then take it out, then do it again, and gradually increase it. I thought, oh, now I understand, you know, and because it begins to grow. And eventually, that kefir seed, you can have a big old thing of milk, and that kefir seed that starts like this gets really big, and then it starts multiplying. And that's a lot like our life or the faith it gives us. It starts little, and it's meant to take a step at a time. And as we do it right, it begins to grow, and it can begin to be more effective in the larger glasses and even a jar of milk. So with this initial amount of faith that he gives us, we can begin the Christian walk. We take a step at a time, and that faith grows. It's like when we first start walking. We can't worry about all the steps ahead of us. Actually, Toby is going to be 1 year old this week, and he's starting to stand by himself, and it looks like maybe he's taken a step or so. Maybe it's just the grandfather's imagination. But sooner or later, he's going to be taking a step, then another step, and then you know what happens. 3 weeks later, they're running all over the place. You know, but it starts with that first step, doesn't it? And just because he takes that first step, I don't say, great, Toby, tomorrow we're going to climb Mount Royal because now you can walk. It doesn't work that way, does it? It's a little bit at a time. And that's the way faith is. We can't worry about all the steps ahead of us. In fact, that's what makes faith, faith. We don't see it all. We use what we have at the moment, trusting that when the next step comes, we will be ready. And one of the mistakes that a lot of Christians or people starting off, they look down the road and they think, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't believe I can. I'm just not there. That's okay, because God has given every one of us a measure of faith. And that measure is always sufficient for the next step. And for the next step, and for the next, and he begins to, the faith begins to grow. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Part of faith is we don't see where we're going. We don't see how it's all going to play out. That's what makes faith, faith. Okay, so God gives us a measure of faith. That's important. Second, faith is not an emotion. It's a trust. Now, some people think of faith as an emotion that we've got to work up. I need to kind of work up more faith. That doesn't work that way. Some think faith is just simply acknowledgement that something exists. I believe God exists. Jesus died for my sins. I believe that happened. No, it's much more than that. Faith means trusting. Trusting God even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't understand it, even at times when we might not agree with it. And for rational Westerners, that's a jump we have to make. A few weeks ago, the youth of the church went to Utah. We saw a little thing, and we went through a slot canyon. And these slot canyons were about, it was about a 10-mile hike. Not all of it was in a canyon, but about 7 or 8 miles was. And after we'd been going about 4 or 5 hours, all of a sudden we come to a place, and I hear someone up above saying, "Oh no, the trail ended." So I go down there, and sure enough, there's a big drop. And there's no way you can go back. Alejandra wanted to go home. She wanted to quit. No, not really. I think someone said, "Do we have to go back?" I said, "Well, we could go back 5 hours, or we can keep going. If we get down here, we can go. We only have about an hour." So everyone kind of felt like, "Let's try this one." But what we had to do, and I see a lot of smiles on people's face, a couple of us scrambled down, and you had to take your backpack down, and it was probably as far as from that ceiling to here. No, it wasn't that much. It seemed like it at the time. But what you had to do, you had to kind of go down like this, and you can see there's a big drop. And what we'd have to do, the person dropping down, there was a couple people underneath, and we would have to say, "Just trust us and just lower yourself." And we would take their feet and we would kind of go, and then there was a little, and then we could put their feet on a ledge, and they'd say, oh, that feels so good. And then we could kind of take them down. But, you know, it was like, I'm scared. Just trust me. Please, Jessica, trust me right now. And no puedo. No. And so I think this is Alejandra here. Christian is lowering her down, but it was trust. And we all got down, as you can see, and we only had about an hour left. Okay, Christian's checking it out here. Okay, so that's an example of faith or trust. There's also a story, I've shared this before, it's also in the Words of Eternal Life book. But in the 1880s, there's a man named Charles Blondin. He was a Frenchman, so it'd be Charles Blondin. And he was a famous tightrope walker. And he made his living by doing all sorts of crazy feats, like walking from one building to another building on a wire. And this is before the days of television and movies, so people would come from miles around to kind of come see Blondin. And he would do also, sometimes he'd do it blindfolded. To me, that's kind of crazy. Sometimes he'd get in a wheelbarrow, put a dog in it, kind of go across, then come back. But there's one time he was in Niagara Falls. Who here has been to Niagara Falls? Am I the only one? Okay, a few people have. Okay, it is big. It is 1,100 meters or yards. It's like 4 football fields long. And he did that across. Big crowds there. When he finally got back over, everyone, yay! You know, bravo, you know, excited. And he kind of took his bows. He was kind of a showman, I think. He said, "Who believes that I can go back with someone on my back?" And everyone, "Yeah, yeah." And then he said, "Okay, who wants to go first?" And everyone's got their hands in their pockets, kind of shaking. They said they believed he could do it, but true belief is in trusting ourselves. And that's what God says. You know, we say, "Does God exist?" Yeah. I mean, what? 90% of Americans say, "Yeah, God exists. Do you believe that he died?" Yeah. Do you believe he can do miracles? Yeah. Well, do you think he can take your life where it is now and take it? That is another question. It's trust. Actually, the Greek word for believe means to trust in or commit oneself to. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. There's a trust involved. That's faith. That's believing. We're called to trust in God. We trust in what God has done for us at the cross, that He paid the price of my sin. He forgave me totally. He gave me eternal life. And now He's called me to walk according to the path that He's chosen for me. I can't do that myself. I have to trust Him to do it. So faith is not an emotion. It's trusting God. And that's important for us to know. Okay, another thing about faith. Faith must be exercised. It's like a lot of things in life. You use it and it grows. Going back to Toby walking, or any of our kids. If he takes 3 steps, we all clap. He just doesn't kind of just go back to crawling. Well, I did that already. No. He's not going to climb Mount Royal until he what? Practices. And I have a feeling he will. He'll be running all over that house in a month from now. You know, Eric and Hannah's life will change. You know, once again. You know, or talking. Just because you say a few words, you have to use it, right? And the more you use it, what happens? It begins to grow. It becomes more fluent. Or like eating. A baby, at the first, you give him a spoon. He kind of goes into a bowl of whatever it is, and it's all over his face. It's in his hair. Half the bowl's on the floor, you know. But sometimes he gets it in his mouth, and we think, good, he's eating. But you know what? In practice, you know, once we're Stephanie's age, you know, she eats properly now. Nothing's on the floor, you know. In fact, usually by the time we're 3 or 4, we're that way. And riding a bike, learning a new language. A lot of us can identify with that. Do you have to use it in order for it to grow? Of course you do. That's the way it works. Skiing, everything. In the case of faith, we are given a measure. And we begin to use that. We get stretched, but we have to keep moving. Romans 4, verse 19 and 20. It's talking about Abraham. It says, without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, he wasn't weak in faith. He made himself stronger and stronger. I know when I was 10, I gave my life to the Lord, but when I was 16... I realized it was about trusting my life with Him. But still, I found myself making my own decisions. And gradually, I saw that God wanted to lead me step by step. He might speak something to me, and I needed to respond in faith. It might be go somewhere or speak to someone. And I couldn't always see where I was going. At the time, the things that he asked me to do seemed really big. Now I look back and, oh, that was nothing, you know. But at the time, it was something little. And as I grew in my life in Christ, I soon realized that I've been called to a life, a whole series of decisions every day. And they're all decisions of faith. And it grows as I exercise it. The things that... Well, now he calls me and he speaks to me things much greater than before. I mean, the area of ministry and the areas of finances. For example, in finances, I can remember when I was a child, I would give 10% of my allowance or I'd cut grass or stuff like that. It was pretty easy. Once I got married, it was a lot harder because I needed money for food, you know, and for gas to go to work. And it took me, you know, my faith was stretched a little bit. And throughout my life, let's say just in the area of finances, God caused me to things that requires larger amount of faith all the time. Same thing with ministry. It started off, talk to so-and-so about the Lord. I'm scared. Just do it anyway. You know, this conversation back and forth with the Lord. And then I realized, hey, God used that. And now there's things, you know, let's say, especially like some of the trips that I'm taking to Europe and Middle East and things like that. Not only is it the finances part of it, but there's also just the things that I'm called to do I never would have been able to do a long time ago, or even 10 or 15 years ago. So our walk with the Lord, He constantly builds our faith. And that's important to realize. Please don't fall into the trap that tells us not to keep moving forward. You're okay. You've done well. Either we're moving ahead or we're actually falling behind. Faith must be exercised to grow. And remember, really, according to the scriptures, the faith that God gives us, once it's developed, it has the potential to move mountains. Because it's not our faith. It's something that God gives us. It's like learning a new language. We exercise it. It's like those kefir seeds. And the fourth thing I want to mention is that biblical faith stays focused. When you read about faith, especially in the book of Hebrews, over and over, it's always associated with words like endurance or perseverance. Let's take a look at Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. One translation says, they shall walk by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Notice, endurance, not shrinking back, not giving up. That's what faith is all about. True faith stays focused. It isn't distracted. It doesn't give up. It doesn't shrink back because of the trials and disappointments and the things we don't understand. In fact, that's how faith grows. Emotions, or how we feel, or circumstances don't derail true faith. Faith keeps us from wavering. You know, one of my first observations in Christian ministry was in my late teens and early 20s. And it was in a day when a lot of people were coming to know the Lord. My senior year in high school, by the end of the year, just in our class, now we had about 400 people in our class, our graduating class, but probably 60 or 75 of them gave their life to the Lord, supposedly, there at probably the last 4 or 5 months of our senior year. But a lot of them fell away. Not all of them, of course, but many of them did. And one thing I started noticing is that when people would face a trial or tribulation or a disappointment, it would do one of two things to them. It would either wipe them out. You know, the day before they're going, oh, praise the Lord, Mike, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then the next day, something's happened, and they just all washed out in their faith. It wasn't true faith. But for others, those trials actually made them stronger and deeper. And I remember thinking, trials are very important. And then I started reading what the Bible says about it. God uses trials in our life. To what? To strengthen our faith. Read James 1. It's just one example. So, this is the faith. Biblical faith keeps us from the ups and downs, the sputtering along. From the very beginning, we need to embrace a biblical faith, not a superficial faith. Now, true, we can't have that type of faith in ourselves. It's impossible. But remember, God gave us a measure, carefully measured out, of faith to begin with, every one of us. And that's real. And that, if we exercise it properly, will grow. It doesn't give up. It doesn't shrink back with trials. That's the faith that we have to embrace. Let's put it this way. This kind of sums it up. False faith. I think there's a slide up here. False faith or pseudo faith is of the flesh. It's emotion based. It goes up and down depending on the circumstances of your life. That's not true faith. But there's a lot of Christians who their faith goes up and down according to something's wrong. False faith can be demanding. It demands from God or accuses God. Actually, sometimes I kind of hear people say, I'm angry with God. And it just kind of makes me cringe. You know, I told God I'm upset at him. Wait a minute. You're talking about God, your creator here. Somehow there's something off. False faith is also self-serving. It's all about what God will do for me. Where true faith should be about bringing God glory and serving others. Now, true faith, on the other hand, is different. It comes from God. Remember, it starts off with a measure that he gives us. You say, how do I get that true gift? God has given it to you already. As soon as you kind of say, I think I want to follow Jesus. I'm not sure I understand completely. I don't know if I really believe 100%, but I will step out using the measure of faith that he gives us. And what happens? All of a sudden, it begins to develop. True faith is part of that foundation on which we live the Christian life. It does not shrink back. It does not give up. It grows as we use it or exercise it. And actually, there's probably one other thing that I didn't mention, but it could probably be another whole point, is that faith is fed when we study and embrace God's Word. Remember Romans 10, verse 7, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. Faith, true faith, is a confidence. It's a trust in Him. It's an assurance. Sometimes it's scary. It's like going down that slot canyon. Are you sure you've got me? Sure, just drop down about another foot, and we're going to put your foot in. And then, of course, once everyone got down, oh, that was pretty easy. And everyone's kind of saying, oh, yeah, it's real easy, Alejandro. You can do it. Don't walk back. I'm joking with Alejandro because she's a real trooper. She was always, we can do it. We can do it. Let's don't rest. Let's go. Let's do another 10 miles. So I'm just giving her a hard time. So it's a conviction of things not seen. When you're going down, you're dropping down that slot canyon, you couldn't see where your feet were. You certainly couldn't see that little ledge you can put your feet on. But as you trusted, it happened. In John 11, not too long before Jesus goes to the cross, he's in the town of Bethany. His good friend Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha, his sisters, sent for Jesus when he was very sick. But Jesus arrived too late. Actually, when he arrived, Lazarus had been dead how long? 3 days. And Mary and Martha, they said, if you had only been here. Well, let's look at John 11, verses 25-27. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Now, when she says, I have believed, yes, I believe, she's basically saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. Because that's like, I commit myself to you. Think of Blondin, the typewriter. We're saying that to Jesus. But that question he asked Martha, do you believe this? I think that's the question that Jesus would ask us today. Do you believe this? Now, believing doesn't mean that you understand it all, because you won't. In fact, there'll be some things you'll go through this whole life and you will never understand until you're in the next life. But do you believe this? Do you believe that God has a path for you, one in which you will grow and be faithful? Do you believe that he does indeed have forgiveness of sins and eternal life for you? Do you believe that he's called you to share the words of eternal life with others? Do you believe that there's a whole list of things, and God is probably emphasizing different things to us in different seasons of our life? He has called us to a life of believing and trusting every day for the rest of our life. Do you believe this? The one who declares himself to be the resurrection and the life and who promises you eternal life is asking you that question today. So, what is God calling you to believe or to trust in today? For some people, it might be begin the Christian life. I have questions about it. I'm not sure if I understand it all. Of course you're not going to understand it all, but at some point you have to just, with that measure of faith, you just have to step out. Or for some of you, God wants to change that sputtering, the up and down. He wants you to begin to walk that consistent life. And he's saying, trust me, get on my back. We're walking to the other side of Niagara Falls. Do you believe this? For some people, you might be in the midst of trials right now. And God is saying, trust me, I'm going to take you through this. Do you believe this? Maybe God's giving you a promise. And he's saying, will you believe this? Maybe he's calling you to some new area and you have lots of questions and doubts. You can't see it. Of course you can't see it. With God, he always leads us to things that we can't see, because he leads us into a walk of faith. And faith means things that we don't see. Sometimes people say, yeah, Mike, I think God's saying this to me, but I can't really see how this is going to end. Well, yeah, that's right. That's welcome to the club. This is what you signed up for, you know. It's all your life, you know. But it's beautiful because we learn to trust him, and he takes us places we can never go by ourselves. So let's pray right now. And whatever God is speaking to you, it probably has a question at the end of it. Do you believe this? The question that Jesus asked Martha. So just as we are praying, think about, there may be one, there could be three or four things that are ahead of you right now, and God is asking you, do you believe? Now again, believe means to trust him, to commit yourself to him. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't see it, even if you don't even agree with it all, you're going to trust him. So just all of us, let's just pray now. And whatever God is calling us to, whatever He's calling us to believe, express that to the Lord. It's a step of faith. But He's given you a measure of faith to start off with, to do it one step at a time. We just take a minute or so while each of us pray. Lord, we thank You that You've called us to believe You, to trust You, even when we don't see it all. Even, Lord, if You seem to be going in a different path than what we think we want to do or what we think is best. Lord, make us men and women and young people who trust You, who commit our lives to You, step by step in this walk of faith that You've called us. And especially, Lord, if we're at the very beginning of our Christian life, maybe this is the day that You're calling us to really put our life in Your hands for the first time. Lord, we give You our lives. Or in fact, all of us do. And Lord, we trust that You will carry us and protect us and lead us to the places that You have for us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.